This episode brought to you by Correlation and BankJoy. On the show today, we have BAI's very own Holly Hughes talking about some research the folks at BAI just completed, specifically focusing on both the positive and negative impacts of the pandemic regarding mental health and work-life balance. Really, really important stuff here from Holly, so check it out. Yes, welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have BAI's very own Holly Hughes. Holly, how are you today?
I'm great, Mike. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with us today about actually a quite important and very timely topic. We're talking about the pandemic's impact on financial services employees, kind of a mental health type of message going on today. So, and you guys did some research on this, specifically both, you know, the positive and negative impacts of the pandemic regarding mental health and work-life balance. So how are credit unions, have you guys discovered, addressing these ongoing challenges of the pandemic's impact on mental health these days?
Yeah, you know, it definitely came out loud and clear in the research that we did that the mental health impacts are almost three times as strong as the physical impacts.
Really?
You know, both are negative. And certainly we hear it in the headlines and we know that it's an issue. But I think, you know, there is some great work being done to address it. And I think first is just trying to overcome any negative stigma around it. And I think sadly that still is an issue around mental health. And some of the more interesting things we've seen credit unions do, you know, one is kind of taking a top-down approach and having executive leadership speak about it, speak about their own mental health, you know, journey and any challenges they've faced. It really should be no different than talking about physical health.
Yep.
So I think that's, you know, an important thing that, you know, people should consider when they're looking at it. Also, we've seen people really do a check of their benefits. Mm-hmm. Are the mental health benefits as strong as they need to be?
Yep.
We've seen some take some pretty bold actions and offering 100% payment for counseling services, introducing some new, you know, teledoc or telemedicine services that have become more popular during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then I think another, you know, just really interesting thing we've seen is, you know, treating the whole employee, I would say, you know, with so many people working remote, dealing with all types of family dynamics. You know, even though credit unions haven't necessarily, you know, laid off a lot of people, maybe a spouse got laid off and there is some financial stress in the family. So offering, you know, some financial coaching and assistance, or they're dealing with elder care or issues in that area. And, you know, maybe when the kids were being homeschooled, you know, people were just really trying to figure that out. So we've seen them do interesting webinar series or employee support groups, where they can connect with other people that are in a similar boat. So things that we really hadn't heard of before all this happened, but frankly, I think are really great. So I think those are some of the examples of what we're seeing out there that I think, you know, others could maybe learn from.
Yeah, I think these are definitely positive steps moving forward, because we didn't really hear about things like this, even just as short as 5 years ago or 3 or 4 years ago. You know, it's really come to the forefront in the last couple, and probably, you know, another thing that the pandemic brought to the surface was mental health. So, I mean, that's probably another silver lining to bring this stuff to light and help folks address it. So you have a stat here, 80% of employees feel their organization has enabled them to balance their work and personal life. What has caused this? Was it, again, was this pandemic induced that you're seeing, or was it something else along with it?
Sure. I think some of it was just those benefits of working from home and eliminating commutes. You know, me personally, I'm, you know, in the Chicago area, our office is downtown. I live in the suburbs. You know, it's given me a good 2 hours back in my life, you know, each day.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Each day,
that's quite a trek. Yes.
So I think, you know, people are benefiting from that.
Yeah.
You know, also, I think the technology has been pretty good to support people working remote, which has been important. So, you know, if a credit union didn't have that capacity to seamlessly get people on their technology at home, that could have been a challenge. But for the most part, we've seen organizations did a really nice job there. And then I think just that flexibility on working when and where and being more open to that. So maybe I'm starting a little early. But then I'm taking a midday break to help with the kids or an appointment or things like that. And then I'm hopping back on. People value that and appreciate that. And I think, you know, financial services in general has, you know, more of a traditional mindset with some of those things. And they were really forced to be a little bit more open-minded and flexible in how people could get the job done. And I think they've seen, for the most part, people have been very effective.
That's so funny that you bring that up, because I just read, or I just saw like a headline today in the news about, I think it's Portugal that is fining folks who are fining companies whose employees log on to do work stuff after work hours, like after 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. I mean, don't quote me on that, but I remember just scanning through my news feed and went, oh, and that just caught my eye. So it went.
Yeah, you know, I have heard something similar. And one of the things that we did notice in the study as well is a net negative impact on workload. And when we probed a little bit with leaders, you know, some of that is self-induced with employees kind of saying, oh, I'll just log back in. I'll just, you know, doing a little bit more. But that can become a little bit of a trap, because if managers and if they're doing and kind of feeding this cycle, and then it becomes an expectation, I think you're ripe for burnout, which may be why they're saying, hey, you know, time out. This is not something we want to be doing.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. Because when the work is at home, it's really hard to escape it. It's really hard, unless you're super, super disciplined and you can have that hard stop or that boundary. It's always kind of looming in the background. So yeah, I totally understand that for sure. And speaking of that, so is it the natural work-life balance that comes from working from home? I mean, you know, and how are credit unions helping us? Because you alluded to that before, how they're, you know, 100% coverage on mental health, on counseling and things like that. Are there other items out there that, that credit unions are helping out with that you guys found?
I mean, I think those are the biggest areas that we're seeing. Okay. I think it's continuing to be open-minded to that. You know, as we, you know, kind of think about some of those other learnings and stuff. I mean, we know there's a war on talent. So I think, you know, they do need to kind of continue to stay close to the employee, especially as they're thinking about maybe transitioning back to hybrid or bringing some groups back even full time. I think it's in those main areas that we talked about just making sure they've got good, you know, benefits, resources, they're talking about it openly, and that they have that technology to be effective wherever they're working.
Yeah. And so what are some of the most important lessons here that credit unions can learn from the pandemic, having said all that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, the war for talent is real. And the Great Resignation has made a ton of headlines. I think we're also hearing from credit union leaders, especially those more entry-level positions, are highly sought after in other retailers. You know, Target is doing some things with tuition reimbursement and a lot of really great benefits. So I think they're going to need to really stay close to what the business needs for sure, but also what the employee needs and that engagement, because it is going to get tough. And filling that talent pipeline and really making sure they've got strong talent planning will be really important. I think the other learning that we haven't talked about yet, but's really important, is just the spirit of innovation and speed of innovation that took place during the pandemic was pretty impressive. And we just announced our BAI Global Innovation Award winners, and the digital transformation category was one of the top categories.
I can imagine.
People were forced into it, as we know, because, you know, the branches shut down. And some credit unions may have been well positioned. Some may have quickly had to get up to speed in certain areas, improve certain experiences, not just with the technology, but with their contact centers and other parts of the business. So they were forced to move very quickly and drive this positive change. You know, when things get to this kind of new normal, or it's not so crazy, you know, I think they still need to really make sure they're keeping an eye on how they can continue to innovate and continue to improve that customer experience, because it will happen in other areas. So, and they've proven that they can do it. So I think that is another just big learning to take forward.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And kind of segueing from that, so how are credit unions managing the return to the office, these plans that everyone's talking about? It seems like we take two steps forward, one step back, two forward, one step back, just because of what's going on with these crazy variants popping up all over the place, like kind of like a whack-a-mole machine. It's like, oh my gosh, another one. So how do you see, you know, credit unions managing this, these crazy times that we're in, and any best practices that you can share as well?
Sure. Yeah. HR leaders are, they're earning their.
Oh, yes, they are.
They're set up specific task force, which I think are really helpful, that are really just focused on COVID, protocols, procedures, what's happening. So making sure you've got people that are dedicated to it and are continuing to focus on it. Mm-hmm. I think staying flexible is key. And it's interesting. We've seen some people say, okay, we're going to put dates out there of the latest return to the office is this date, that date. And then we've seen some credit unions just kind of get away from it and just say, you know what, we're not going to put a date out there. We're doing okay in our current mode. We will give you, you know, X number of days, weeks, notice when we are ready to go to more of a hybrid. So we mm-hmm. see most of them working towards a hybrid, but it's still a little up in the air as to when. Yeah. And I think just really encourage people to, it's not a one size fits all. So really look at each group within the credit union. Are they effective remote? Do they want to stay remote? And is mm-hmm. that just your policy versus mm-hmm. the ones where you really do need a little bit more of a hybrid or in person? Yeah. I think that can be helpful. The other complexity is just around the vaccine mandates, and you know how that kind of is dividing people and complicating yeah. situations. Mm-hmm. I've heard of other industries where people are actually letting go of people if they don't get vaccinated. Oh, yeah. We haven't seen that yet within the credit union space. But how you're tracking that, if you're offering tests as an option and then who pays for it, still some complexity there. I think yeah. that people are looking to figure out.
Yeah, all this still seems like we're, you know, treading in this unknown area that we've never been in before. And folks are just still like kind of, you know, walking around in the dark with a blindfold on, basically, and just trying to guesstimate on what's the right thing to do here to take care of everybody. Yeah.
It's a little surreal sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, you just think of all the decisions being made and how long it's gone on. You know, I think that's the other thing. And that this will be more of just a new way of working and, you know, transacting as organizations.
Yeah, exactly. And so what are two things that we need to leave in 2021 and two things that we should take into 2022? I know a couple of things that we can leave in 2021, but I'll let you answer that question.
Yeah, no, a great question, Mike. I think we would all love to leave the coronavirus and all its variances
yes.
in the past. But I think there's an understanding that some level will be around. It's, you know, it's more just kind of working with it and, yeah. and adapting. But I think, you know, maybe to point to some of the earlier things we talked about, I think if we could leave behind this stigma around mental health, that would help so much. You know, it'd help people to come forward to yeah. get better help sooner, you know, and just benefit them as well as the credit unions, you know, overall. I think also, you know, just looking at any, you know, negative bias that may still exist about working remote, because I still think there's a little pocket of that's, mm-hmm. you know, got to get everyone back. And, you know, that's where we're most effective. And I just that's not what we've seen. And I think we just have to watch that because that could hurt people with their talent strategy.
Yeah.
And then I think in terms of, you know, what to pull forward, mm-hmm. You know, I think there it's also this just commitment to treating the whole employee, to developing the whole employee. You know, don't make it, you know, just require a global pandemic when you offer, you know, additional assistance. Look at what else could just make their whole work-life balance mm-hmm. better, and just kind of continue to keep that a theme. And then as we mentioned, you know, just continue to innovate. Yeah. I think that's the last thing I would say is, you know, look at speed to market. How did you get it done before? And how can you continue to bring that forward mm-hmm. in a more normalized environment? And what do your customers need? How does, you know, and your members, and, you know, how is this changing their behavior? And what do your members expect from you? So mm-hmm. I think, you know, continuing to keep that as a driving force will be an important business principle too.
Yeah, those are great, great points. And I heard a number of people say last year about treat this time at your organization, hit the refresh button, or treat it as your organization as a startup, and just, you know, keep what's working, and then just drop kick what's not working, because obviously we're not going back to the old times or right. just a couple of years ago. So we're, like you said, we're going to have to learn how to live with this and really kind of adopt and adapt on the fly here and find out what's working. So yeah, just great points here. Oh, last question here. Anything else to wrap up, or actually, where can we find out more information, or in case people want to go and find out more details on your research, where can we go check that out?
Sure. Yeah, you can go to BAI.org.
Okay.
And we've got a lot of great tools there. We just did a webinar on 2022 trends in general that I think will be really valuable. Okay. And then I mentioned that BAI Global Innovation Awards. We also have information on the winners there that cover a lot of different areas. So I think it can be a source of inspiration for the credit unions just to think about, okay, who's really moving the needle and doing some pretty bold and unique stuff? And how can that inspire thinking and change within their own organization? So I think those would be a couple of great resources.
Okay, fantastic, fantastic. And anything else to wrap up on this topic? Because I think, again, I think that one of the silver linings that came from the pandemic was bringing mental health more to the forefront. And
absolutely.
I think people are more accepting it. The more they're educated, the more they're aware of it, they're more accepting of it. So they're getting to know it better. They're understanding it better. So is that kind of what you're seeing as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that is the headline and the big takeaway that would just be so valuable overall. Would love to see that.
Indeed. All right, Holly, I'm going to let you get back to work. Got a lot on your plate, so I don't want to keep you from it. But we thank you for your time today. This is always valuable, valuable stuff. And we'll put all the links in the show notes so people can get right to it and check it out and give you guys a call if they have any questions. So thank you.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much. Thanks for having me. Great to talk with you as always.
You're welcome, Holly.